This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Okay, guys, let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room. Stuff is weird right now, okay?
Things are happening.
And I don't know about you, but I have anxiety. And when things are happening and things are weird and things are awkward and things are out of my control, when I can have something that I can control, I love it. If I can have like my daily cup of oatmeal and my coffee with my French vanilla sugar-free creamer, I'm a happy person in the mornings. If I can put on my mascara and feel like pulled together and love my reflection in the mirror when I just like flutter my eyelashes at myself, even though I'm not even going out anywhere, I love it. I love it. My kids are crazy. My kids are home. Things are crazy. But if you have little things in your life that you can control that help you out as well, I suggest you do them now. And if you would like to try out some new makeup or some skincare just to play around with, heck, you could try out some really crazy new things right now, friends, and nobody would even see. And then when you go back to work, you are going to look like Beyonce. You're going to have so much time to practice this stuff. So my favorite mascara, really, really simple, easy to use, is on sale this month, the month of March, at MinuteWithMary.com/discount, just for you, our listeners. If you ever have any questions, if you've got some time on your sleeves and you want to learn a new trick, if you want to have a... most people listening to this will have already watched 505. If you want to have Claire's makeup that you see in episode 505, I got you. We're going to be coming and I'm going to do a tutorial in the clan gathering on that look because it was so good. Anyway, MinuteWithMary.com/discount.
Hi, this is Val from Connecticut, and you're listening to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. In honor of the tongue-twisting Queen Marcelly, there was an old pheasant, and he's not too pleasant. And though I'm not a pheasant plucker, I'll be plucking pheasants till the pheasant plucking's done.
Ooh. That a girl.
Well done. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone.
Vocal arrangement. I just want like a straight up CD of that this time of time of life. If any of you have a CD, or I don't know, do people even do CDs anymore?
I don't think so.
Anyone has a cassette tape mix? Send it over.
Did you record it off the radio?
Yeah, no commercials. Well, anyway, if you're tuning in for this, you don't know me already. Hi, my name's Mary. I love music.
And my name's Blake, and I'm still happy to announce that I do not have the coronavirus. Still do not have it.
Blake, we're not supposed to be talking about the C word.
Oh, no. We can talk about it. This is for the podcast listeners. For those of you who are listening right now, we are on Facebook Live, and we are doing the whole thing. And I just want to say, we went over a whole bunch of stuff for all the people watching on Facebook Live. And if you're watching this on YouTube, again, welcome. You know, we know the stuff that's happening. We know the stuff that's going on here. And the whole country is shut down in the United States. And it's a weird, awkward feeling. And, you know, in the danger of repeating myself for everybody watching us live right now, I just want to say life is weird and it's okay. It's okay. Everything's shut down. Everything's going on. And there's a new normal for the time being. Pro sports are done. Broadway's out. Massachusetts, they just announced all the bars and the restaurants got to shut down for a month. All the schools are canceled for like a month or so. We got stuff, man. We got stuff. And it's weird. And it's okay to say that. So for everybody I just told on the Facebook Live, you're going to hear it again. And I have to do this in honor of my favorite television show ever. What I want you to do is this. If you're listening to this in your podcast, you're at the gym. Well, no, you can't be at the gym because they're all closed. If you're in your car, you're driving, maybe you're doing your dishes. Maybe you're pulling your hair out because your kids are driving you crazy and you needed some Mary and Blake time to help you out. What I want you to do is I want you to go full Lost. I want you to go full Jack Shepherd.
We have to go back, Kate.
And I want you to count to five. I want you to count to five. I want you to let the weird in. I want you to let the stuff, the anger and the frustration and the fear and just let the weird in. Count to five, let it in. And then after you're done, after five, let it go. Let it out into the ether.
Let it go.
Let it go, because everything's going to be all right. We're going to be cool. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk some Outlander. We're going to make some coronavirus jokes probably. We're going to have fun with it.
We're not.
I don't know what we're going to do. Wait, you know what? This is the listen to feedback episode.
Things do get crazy.
It's agenda free.
Things do get crazy on this episode.
Absolutely. So you never know. You never know. So everything's going to be all right, ladies and gentlemen. Count to five.
Okay.
Do the Jack Shepherd thing. Let all the stuff in for 5 seconds. Count it. Then come and join us. Have some fun. We're going to talk some Outlander and do that. So, so Marvin.
Yes.
You got any opening takes?
No.
Nothing?
No.
No opening takes.
No, I'm just ready. I'm excited to talk Outlander. I'm excited to talk about Roger singing and everybody getting a little tipsy.
By the way, yes, thank you for listening to us now. We were supposed to do this on Thursday evening. Our daughter had a stomach ache, not the coronavirus. Thank you. But she just was sick. And then Mary had plans on Friday. I had plans on Saturday. Today, Sunday, the day that we're recording this, is the first day that we're actually able to do it. So thank you for being patient with us. All right. I suppose we should...
I had plans on Friday?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't have plans.
I don't remember what we did. So I don't have an opening take. You don't got an opening take.
Let's get on with this.
You ready to release the hounds?
Let's do this.
All right.
Listener feedback.
Let's release the hounds.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, no.
That's, I like that song.
That's the wrong song. That's the wrong song. This is the right song.
I'll listen to all these songs. Everybody else feeling it? Any of them will make me do a little jig. All right, here we go. So, we have an outlandish theory about Fergus. Oh, I'm so excited. Is it about his boots? All right, it was on the website. Is this what you want me reading? You're looking funny.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, all right, we got this. Bro PS.
Yep.
As per Sam, it was the Highland Fling, not the Sard Dance. Am I reading the right thing, Blake?
Yeah.
You have outlandish theory about Fergus.
Huh? Oh, yeah, sorry, that's my outlandish theory.
Blake, I read whatever you put in the gosh darn article.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
You put it in capitalization in black.
I did.
It wasn't pink, it wasn't blue. I'm just reading it because you're looking at me.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. I forgot about this, that this was my fault. I have an outlandish theory about Fergus. I talked about it on the After the Doc episode. And by the way, you can go to outlandercastclan.com and you can check out all the After Doc episodes when you get a chance. It's only for outlandercastclan.com. But this one was so good that I had to come and I got to say it. I have to say it. Because I got to get it on record.
Okay.
They are going to have to tell Fergus that they're from the future.
Oh, okay. I've already heard this.
I know you've heard this.
And I'll let you divulge.
No, they're going to come home and I've got a feeling that the whole thing with the regulators is probably going to take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a pause, and there's going to be this whole kerfuffle with Stephen Bonnet, and there's going to be questions that Fergus has, and I've got a sense that they have to tell Fergus that they're going to be from the future, just like how they, in order to operate properly, they had to tell Murta that they were from the future, or that Claire was from the future. I think the same thing is going to have to happen. They have to do it. So Fergus is definitely going to find out. So Mary, can I get?
What do we all say to that, my friends? Interesting.
All right. So now we can get to the website.
Okay.
So that's that.
Okay. Bro PS, who does not have an outlandish theory about Fergus, continuing. As per Sam, it was the Highland Fling, not the Sword Dance. Thank you very much. I'm a book reader, and I still don't like the Roger character assassination. We're a third of the way through the season, and Roger doesn't appear to have done anything in the months he's been on the Ridge other than sit around and sing to Jemmy. Just a little side note. I'm fine with that.
All right. Calm down.
He's the Manny. He's the Manny for all of us. This is us friends.
All right. Calm down.
And we'll get back. So we should have seen him doing something to try and learn from Jamie about how to live on the ridge. Both Jamie and Roger left their wives. You're forgetting that Jamie had to leave Claire at the Stones. That's why the looks passed between all of them. Ooh, yes. Love it. We saw what happened with Claire's Dr. Rawlings writings that Fergus took. Do you think it's going to come back and bite the Frasers in the butt? Wait, like that?
I think so. It absolutely.
Wouldn't you be upset if your father-in-law didn't like you or have any respect for you? Roger knows Bree loves him. This is a sore subject for me. My father-in-law, who I texted today. Hi, are you okay? Do you need us to bring you food? Never roll back.
And, you know, it would make a lot more sense if, well, it would make less sense if he was talking to me. But my father is not speaking to me either. So
let's just leave it there.
I told you, we're letting out the wind.
Ned wrote in on the Facebook. Not on the Facebook.
No, on the website.
Website. Do you want me to read it?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
What kind of accent do you want Ned to have?
Just yours. Okay. Just read it. You just go with it.
Ma. I don't think the tension between Jamie and Roger will last. Jamie is a lot like the farmland he oversees. It'll give you sustenance, but make you work for it. Jamie's main problem, I think, is that Ian is gone. Oh my God, Ned, you're going to make me cry, okay? Ned continues. Huh. If all four of them could have returned, I don't think he'd have any real bad feeling about Roger. Let's not forget that Jamie lost his baby Faith, lost Brianna through the Stones, and couldn't raise Fergus himself, had to leave William, and then lost Marcelly and little Joan to an imploded marriage. Ian kept running back to Jamie because he wanted adventure. But Jamie wanting to keep him was due to the envy of Jenny's large family. She had 6 children plus Rabbi McNabb and Fergus to raise. So Ian was Jamie's substitute son. He made him into that. And now Ian is gone. And Roger is here. And that's hardly his fault. Roger was afraid he was going to be executed for helping the priest if he stayed. Was he supposed to protest the deal that Ian made? And if you recall, the deal was off because Claire brought the wrong costume jewelry to the party. My point is that Jamie is exhausted by loss. Roger is another son that he has to worry about getting killed. Jamie would prefer to not be attached to Roger if or when he dies. So I think he's a bit mean to Roger so they don't get too close. This defense won't last and won't work. Roger is slowly going to die.
Makes me wanna shout. Excellent, Ned. Like, that is ridiculously good.
Ned.
And as much as I ain't a fan of Roger,
I wish I could talk like Ned Gowan. That's what I wanted to do, and I can't.
I was suggesting you were going with the Jeffrey Hirsch voice, but I wouldn't want to insult Ned like that. Mm. So we couldn't do that.
No, I was going to do like some New York, like some alliteration for Ned, and then it just, once I saw where it was going, I just couldn't do an accent.
By the way, I do want to say here,
so good.
That was very good.
So good.
That was excellent. Great job, Ned.
How many of us have done that where we've had like losses or breakups or, you know, deaths, things like that, and we just protect ourselves. We put up the walls.
Absolutely. I was just about to say, I'm not a big fan of the whole Roger thing.
What do you mean the whole Roger thing? You mean Roger as a person?
Yeah, like I'm not a big fan of Roger. I get it. Like it is what it is. But the reasoning here that for Jamie behind why he's treating Roger with such disdain, excellent stuff. And I also have to say this too. Vicky Johnston here on the Facebook Live is chiming in saying, Mary, you're a better person because you care, regardless of whether or not my dad answers you.
Thank you.
So Vicky, thank you for that. yes, that's that. All right. On Facebook, Angela Hickey, who is joining us on the Facebook Live, she says, I think every episode will be somewhat episodic this season. Blake, the book had a series of vignettes. That is its structure.
Preach.
Sure. I agree, Angela. I mean, I can't agree. I mean, I'll take your word for it. But I'm not going to say that makes good television because... just because that's the way the book is structured doesn't mean that's the way the television show should be structured. And more importantly, the thing I think that frustrates me and a lot of television viewers is Outlander has established its language over the past four seasons. Its language is that of serialized television. If this were a show like The Blacklist, where it was just every day you got a new guy and they're solving a case and they're buttoning it up by the end of the episode, nice and cleanly.
You're taking her out of context.
Well, that was the comment, so I don't know.
She'll explain in the comments.
I'm sure she will.
She's here live. She'll be able to do that.
I'm sure she will.
Teresa Colleen McGuire. Do you like that I'm shifting?
Yes,
go ahead. So you can't take it anymore. Said, my dad saw Roger and Jamie's interaction in this episode a completely different way than how I first took it. My dad said Jamie is like Roger's coach. He has to be hard on him and make him question his decisions in order for him to learn. I don't do well with those kind of coaches. Oh my gosh, those like athletic coaches that are like, come on, do it. And I'm like, no.
No wonder why you don't get along with my dad.
It's like when we did P90X in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
And you were like cranking out the push-ups and like hurting, and I would just lay on the floor smelling the gross yoga mat. Be like, yeah, I'm done.
I hurt. I'm like, let's go. Do two more. And you're like, I can't do this anymore.
What does Katie say on Facebook?
Katie Siebert says, 4.7 kilts. The good was the scenes with Alicia and Isaiah. I love the comparison between Isaiah's wife to Jamie's marriage with Leary. You could tell Jamie was thinking of her when he said, I have not lived with her for 2 years. Excellent point. Listeners are bringing it today. This is good stuff. The bad. Tired of Jamie not respecting Roger. Very much ready for their relationship to grow in a positive way. And the great was the intimacy between Jamie and Claire. As much as I love the sex scenes, I love these precious moments even more.
Yes.
And I love how much of the same lines they kept from the book, especially when Jamie and Claire went into the forest. Excellent stuff.
Michelle Bednarsik. How do you feel about that? How'd I do that saying?
Bednarsik, yes.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go.
Good job.
Thank you. Gave it 4.8 kilts. The good, I have two. First was when Jamie admits to Roger that he hadn't prepared Roger properly. Outside of his relationship with Claire, we rarely see Jamie admitting his mistakes. So I felt this was a big step forward in their relationship, even if Roger didn't see it at first. My second is the outdoor set design of Brownsville. It was exactly how I pictured it from the novel and what I imagine most small settlements in the backcountry would have looked like. Now, Michelle's bad was the sheer number of times one Brown or another volunteered to keep the baby. They want the baby. We get it. And Michelle's great was Sophie Skelton's performance. Her ability to show Bree's internal conflict between her logical and emotional sides blew me away. 5+ kills just for Sophie alone.
Can you co-sign on this, Marvin?
I think Sophie did an excellent job in 504.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah, I liked that moment of hesitation that she had when she was burning the pictures that she drew.
Well, because see, here's the other thing is that like Sophie's very different than me. I mean, Sophie, Bree. Bree is very different than
me. Yep.
I would not be able to keep any of those secrets in. I would be bugging out. I'd be telling everybody. I would be showing them his picture being like, this creep is around. He's around. I can't take it anymore. I would be telling every single... I'd be making a podcast. I'd be doing it all. Whereas you probably would act a lot like Bray.
I would.
Because I think you're a lot like Bray.
Really? Stop it. Okay, time out. Well, screeching halt. How am I like Bray?
The way that you think.
Okay.
You're like very...
Amplify.
You're like very thorough and analytical. So Bree has an engineer's mind.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. And I see a lot like that for you. She doesn't make choices quickly. I see you a lot like Bree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Bree.
Anyone else? I don't know.
Maybe Bree's my soul sister.
What do we think Bree's Enneagram is?
I don't know.
We'll figure that out.
All right. Tamara Wilson Steele says, hi, Mary and Blake. I think that Jamie is missing young Ian dearly and is unconsciously holding it against Roger, adding to the contempt we see, even though it was the consequence of Jamie's own actions. Yeah. And, you know, I think the funny thing is that did Jamie put Ian in a position where he had to feel like he had to leave?
Did Jamie put Ian in a position where he had to leave?
In season four, you know, like...
Listen, Ian was pumped, okay?
Yes.
Ian was like a kid who who just wanted to go on spring break all of his life.
Okay. Yes, because he had nothing better to do.
I think if Ian was like, no, please don't make me go, it would have been a very different story. But Ian's all about this, okay? In the book, Ian's like pumped because there's a lady there too.
Oh, okay.
So he's just like rip-raring to go for some adventure of his own.
Yep.
So, I mean, Jamie's feelings, yes, I get it. And Ian having to leave the family, yes. But when Ian left, you saw that hooping and hollering. That is a boy that is like, Cancun, here I come.
Rebecca Ann here on Facebook is saying, because I'm supposed to be like Bree, I guess that does mean I really do like Roger. Hashtag no. Nope. Still out on Roger. Still out. Natasha, what do you got for Natasha?
Natasha says, okay, firstly, I just want to say that I have only read as far as Voyager, so I'm looking at this season from a show-only perspective. It pains me to say this, but the rapid introduction of so many new characters is leaving me confused and honestly a little bored. Oh. I'm just really struggling to care very much about any of them, and I'm longing for more action between the characters that we know and love or love to hate. I listened to the podcast this morning, and I think that Blake hit the nail. Oh, do you like
that? Oh, that was a good slip.
I love what Blake hit the nail on the head when he described the last two episodes as episodic. Like I said, I haven't read this far into the book, so I don't know what else there is to come. But even so, I'm nervous about how much more they have to squeeze in. And I can't help but feel like a lot of this could have been cut or condensed somehow. I'm really praying that it all comes together and makes it worth it, as right now it's just starting to feel like a bit of a slog. Bam! Just like that. A winner! Phrase from somewhere else.
Yeah, a bit of a slog. It's like a slog. You slogging through the.
Is that like sludge?
No, it's not sludge.
It slug.
It's a slog. A slog is like when you just
Where's this from?
I don't know where it's from. It's like you're slogging through the mud. It's just a slog, man. It's just a slow
sludging
go.
Sludging through the mud.
No. You don't sludge through the mud. Sludge is a thing. Slog is not a thing. Slog is a verb. Yeah, sludge is a noun. You can't noun something. You verb something.
It says to hit hard, as in boxing or cricket. Slug.
No, that's slug. Oh, you're looking at slug, you hoop. I gotta look up slog. There you go.
Anyway, moving on.
Emails. This one comes from Heather. Dear Mary and Blake, this is Heather again.
Hi,
from
Heather.
Berlin, Germany.
Hello.
Just wanted to say, sorry, Mary, if you tripped up on some of my spelling last week.
Oh, girl, I trip up all the time.
She's actually British, not German.
Very cool.
And they spell words differently than the American spelling, but you understood what she was saying, so all is well.
Yay.
So, on to this week's episode of The Company We Keep. On the whole, I would give it 4.7 kilts. As you guys would say, it gave me all the feels. But for me, it came perilously close to being too sugary sweet in a way that actually detracts from the emotional resonance. It's funny. We always say we want more of this stuff on Outlander, but the right dose is absolutely vital. It did improve upon my second and third watching, though. Marvin.
Listen.
Are you on this sugary sweet...
Oh, I'm all about the do you want this baby? Is that what she... Do you think she's talking about the sugary sweet moments?
No, but like the stuff...
Because I'm all about that moment.
No, I mean, yes, but the stuff between Morton and Alicia and the riding off with the whole like voiceover and hopefully we do the things that are good and they outweigh the bad and all that other stuff.
All I can say, Blake, is if you don't like voiceovers, hold on to your butts for episode 505.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right.
Okay. Stephanie said my kilt rating this week was 4.75. Not the best episode of the Pantheon, but definitely a solid and important one. My good Marcelli. Lauren Lyle is an absolute revelation. She's taken a good character and made her spectacular.
Ooh, agreed. Absolutely.
Can we just take a moment for that word?
Spectacular?
No, do it slowly. Spectacular.
Spectacular.
Because it hits different aspects of your tongue.
Spectacular.
Like that Q is the back of it. You lar. And then it's like, oh,
Can you whisper it to me?
Spectacular.
That's what she said.
Anyway, guys,
Jeffrey,
if you're at home.
Jeffrey, no, you're not allowed in the studio no more. Come on, Jeffrey.
Just like whisper it to yourself if you're near somebody. Spectacular. And do it slowly. Spectacular.
It's very ASMR.
Yeah, I know. People keep saying I need to get into that. I get weirded out. She's a sage, a foil, a comic. I'm so glad the writers have taken her strengths as a scene stealer and given her more to do. I read this week that Sophie and Lauren really pushed producers and writers to let Brie and Marcelli build a strong friendship. And I am all in. The bad, while as a book reader, I know that these last two episodes are critical in laying the groundwork for what's about to happen. And from a writing perspective, they're doing a masterful job of subtly planting seeds. I'm really nervous about the amount of time they've spent on these last two episodes when we only have 8 hours left. It's a double-edged sword. When you're adapting a novel, you want to get as much of the story as you can, but as we all know, the last couple of seasons suffered from too much plot and not enough character building. Mm-hmm. Roger. So I'm grateful that they're giving us time to focus on small, quiet moments. The problem is we only have 8 more hours, and I'm really nervous that we're going to get to the end and it's going to be like the season 4 finale where they just tried to smash it all in, like all 17 things at once. This is even more worrying in light of the fact that we know they're bringing in some stuff from book 6. So I guess what I'm really saying is the seasons are too short. Totally agree.
Well, you should consider yourself lucky.
That we have a show and not a movie?
That you're getting 12 to 13 episodes. I mean, a lot of television shows now are going to the 10-episode arc. Westworld, which is premiering tonight as we record this, is actually only 8 episodes long this season. That's it. That is the entirety of season 3. And that show has been off air for 2 years.
How many episodes for Westworld? I didn't listen.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
True.
8 episodes this season for Westworld.
Listen, that show gets dark, man.
That show gets wicked dark.
I don't have anyone that I'm rooting for.
Wicked dark down there. So the great from her was the character freaking development. Thank the good Lord, baby Jesus, lying in a manger. Oh, great. Great reference to Ricky Bobby. Oh my God, Talladega Nights. You know what? You for that? Makes me wanna shout. So that was great job.
Somewhere along those lines.
The writers have returned to the roots of Outlander and are taking the time to build the characters and the relationships between them. The whole season is feeling very reminiscent of season 1, and I am here for it. From Roger and Fergus's budding friendship to Brie working through her trauma and absolutely losing it. Mary, I was too apoplectic. I too was apoplectic when she went to get firewood.
That is not a fun word to say. Try that. Apoplectic. See, not as fun.
Can you say it 5 times fast?
Apoplectic, 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 apoplectic.
Great job.
You're
Look
welcome.
At you.
How now, brown cow? I need to speak for
the
a living.
The spider was spectacular. The spider was spectacular.
All right, let's spectacular. See, that's why they make you do it, because it's an exercise for your tongue.
I literally shouted, Brie, shut the door, and then cussed in fear until she scooped him up in her arms into Jamie's Highland fling and the steamy midnight stroll with Claire. We've needed these moments. The thing with Outlander is that it's ultimately a story about a couple and their family. So the times when we see them in the real human moments are the most compelling. It's moments like these that allow us viewers to become immersed in the story. I've never traveled through time or led a revolution.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure that no one's traveled through time.
I'm kidding.
This isn't Doc Brown in his train at the end of Back to the Future 3. side note, we did watch Back to the Future 3 recently, and
it took us 3 days.
It took us 3 days to watch it. I think I like it the same amount that I liked it the last time that I watched it, which was,
Yeah, no, it's like,
It's definitely no Back to the Future 2.
You know, it is.
And it's certainly no Back to the Future.
It's a step above the latest Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like a couple steps above that.
The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a payday.
But both of their endings, you're like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, that happened.
Move on.
Yeah. Moving on. Where am I? I've never traveled through time or led a revolution, but I've definitely had too much to drink and flirted with my husband while taking a walk in the woods. These are the moments that matter, and these are the moments that are going to carry us through the impending storms.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Stephanie, you nailed it. I mean, you nailed it through and through. That was freaking awesome. Great job.
These are the moments that matter.
This one comes from OutlandCastClan.com. Lynn Henderson says, "Hey, Mary and Blake, coming to you today from the happiest place on earth, Disney World."
Oh my God, get out!
I don't have many thoughts on this week's episode, having watched it on my phone and on the trip down.
Oh my God!
What really struck me was the strength of the relationships and the character development. That scene between Jamie and Claire just broke my heart, and I'm all in with the Bree and Marcelly show.
Yes.
I just love Marcelly more and more every day. But what I could use more of is Fergus and Roger. I would really like to see that relationship blossom. And especially considering the strain between Roger and Jamie, it'd be nice for Roger to have another ally. That poor boy could use all the help he can.
I won't be an ally.
All right, calm down.
Listen, not that kind of ally.
Calm down.
I'll sing some harmonies.
Friggin' Rick Rankin, that guy. That frackin' guy. That guy can go get his shine box.
He'll be my friend.
He can go get his shine box. That's what he can do. Thank you very much from Lynn. But actually, Stephanie brought up a point that I want to talk to you about. I want to get back to this because I
Lynn
was just
Stephanie.
Stephanie brought this point up. She's saying that this season so far is reminiscent of season one. Would you agree with this, or is that taking it a step too far? Do you think?
I think it may be a wee step too far, but on the flip side, what I do like about it is that we're staying put for the most part.
Yes.
We're not going to other times. We're not going to other countries. We're home, and we're figuring out how to handle these conflicts that are at home. Mm-hmm. I think the magic of season one can never be recaptured, just like the magic of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like when you first saw those dinosaurs and that T-Rex went and got that goat and the leg apart, you were like, what is
going on? To Jurassic Park.
Yes. And then when you saw Jurassic Park 2 and 3 and Jurassic World and then whatever the next Jurassic World was, you were like, dinosaurs are great. And this is a great plot. But yes. That little spark of unique magic.
The magic.
Is only in season one.
Yes.
You know,
And the other thing I would say,
there's a lot of other sparks of magic that only happen in season one.
All the sparks.
All the rolling around in grass and I'll let you use your imagination or your rewind button.
The other thing I would say, too, here is, Mary, you are right. There's a certain magic to the Scotland, and there's a certain magic to the specialness, the uniqueness of season one.
All the sex.
So much sex, but also the way that it was shot, the way that it was written, the team that was writing it between Anne Kenny. And
young Jamie, who doesn't really worry too much.
Yeah.
And I love watching Jamie change over time.
Yes.
Because we got to see him without, like, I mean, yes, he had a care in the world and he already had a tragic story of his life, but like, he was pretty much YOLO, you know, just hanging
there
with the horses. Like, this is what I'm going to do, man. Sure. Yep. I'll stick up for, you know, like he'll just do,
sure.
Just do what he got to do. Well, and now he's a wizened man.
But the other thing that I think that jumps out to me here is kind of what I talked about earlier, which is Outlander has established its vocabulary in terms of the way that it wants to tell its own story. And season one was very much an example of that, which is highly serialized. One episode led into the next. And season five has been very episodic. It's not serialized the way that season one was. Whether or not things that happened in previous episodes are going to lead to something later on, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because
you can't say that word.
I can't. Well, yeah, you say irrelevant.
Isn't that the right? Isn't that
no? It's irrelevant, not irrelevant. Oh, say it now. Say it with me, Mary.
Irrelevant?
No. Nope. She can't say it, ladies
and
gents.
I can't. And I also can't say antibiotic.
No, you said that right.
Okay, good.
You can't say birthday right.
What do you mean I can't say that right?
You say birthday. Listen, this may be the White Claws talking, but you can't say birthday right.
Let's continue.
So the show has established itself and the way that it wants to tell, or it has told its stories. And the problem with season five is that it is very episodic and yep. the language is not the same. And that's an issue. That's an issue. You can change settings. You can change motivations.
You can't recapture season one magic.
No, but you may not be able to capture the magic of it all, but you can at least maintain your language.
They're in a different country.
I think about The Leftovers, right? The Leftovers changed its setting and it changed its story, essentially, seasons one, two, and three. Each year, it evolved into something totally bananas. It was freaking Planet Zippy for a lot of the episodes. But it maintained... What?
I don't know where you came up with that phrase, by the way. Planet Zippy, continue.
But it maintained its language. It told you the yes. story in the way that it originally... Like, in the same language that it told you in season one, through season two and through season three. Right now, Outlander is changing its language. And that is something that I think is hard for show watchers because they don't know the story. They don't know what's coming. And the language is so important to how you tell you. It's like saying 2 + 2 = 5 after knowing for your entire life that 2 + 2 = 4. It's impossible. You can't do that. So that's how
I... Time?
Huh?
Are you done with your monologue? Ooh, I just got bored.
Yes, Mary. I'm done with the monologue. Thank you very much. Ready for the voicemails?
People are agreeing with you, by the way. Christina's agreeing with you. People, you know, you didn't bore everybody.
Fine. We'll get to the voicemails. By the way, just for those of you who are listening, who are keeping score, you can... leave some voicemails for us for these listener feedback episodes. Just go to outlandercast.com, click on the engage button, and then you'll see a voicemail drop down.
Engage is so strong of a word.
Well, that's what you wanted.
I know.
You wanted that. I put it. You're the boss. I'm the nerd that makes it happen.
I can say that word.
You can say. Say birthday.
Okay. No. What's the other word I'm supposed to try to say? Inconceivable? No. I can do that one.
Inconceivable. Okay. All right, here we go.
Mary and Blake, hi, it's Marcia from Columbus.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
My review on episode 504.
Where's Columbus?
I give it a 4.8. I thought it was a good, solid episode. I certainly didn't have nightmares after this one, so it's certainly an improvement over last week. My good, Brianna and Marcy celebrating their sacred silence, sisterhood. And I think all us moms wanted to share in that sisterhood and have a wee dram with them.
Yes.
The Isaiah Morton storyline I thought was interesting, the parallels to Jamie and Claire's relationship. You know, Jamie, of course, being married to leg hair with most of that time being spent apart. And then, of course, Claire being married to Frank when she married Jamie. So I thought that was really interesting. My bad. Oh my gosh, that getaway. Lord help me. It was the loudest getaway ever between the horses clip-clopping uh-huh. along the path, the barrels falling over, of course, and then Claire watching out the window. I mean, hello. Everyone can see you, Claire. and then Jamie, that awful, awful alibi with the goats. I mean, come on. But the great... Jamie's ovary bursting speech to Claire.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, all the feels.
Yes.
Love, love, loved yes. that. So have a great week and
thank
look
you.
Forward to talking about next week.
Yay.
Bye for now.
Thank you.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Eliza from Atlanta, Georgia. First of all, wow.
Eliza!
And Peggy.
That's just going to throw that out there.
To the caller who binged everything in 6 months,
yes.
I feel like a kindred spirit. And my fastest, I can read all the books in the main series in 7 weeks, but it takes me forever to watch.
Wow.
The lady at the grocery store says I have a binge bunger. Huh. Shout out to the ladies at my local library who say there's nothing better than Outlander. Anyway, on to 504. I give it 4.8 kills out of 5. And no fives until we get some rolling to Hey Hey from the pen, Dr. Rawlings and McDo. My good was the community. I finally feel a bond. The heart-wrenching attempted suicide, and I didn't feel like she was a brat like how it felt in the book.
Yeah.
I finally feel this amazing bond to the people of the Ridge. My bad was the cringy costumes still, but I can't expect them to have a wardrobe change in the woods like Narnia. Okay, my real bad was Stephen Bonnet. I don't want him to jump out at her, or us to think that she's going to jump out at her all season long. It's going to get really old. My great was Claire and Jamie's sexy time in the woods, but still no adult content. Come on, guys. And also, I really want them to film here. I live less than 5 miles away from where they filmed Avengers, Hunger Games, all that. Come on, the taxes are so cheap. Anyway, this episode was amazing, and
she got cut off. Well, Eliza, you know,
Eliza,
not a nuclear take on a Stephen Bonnet. Like, I agree with you. I don't want the jump scares. I don't want her. I don't want to feel like he's just going to jump out and be like, ha, got ya. But I do like a looming presence. I like, even if it's subconscious, even if it's something that we as viewers are aware of that Bree isn't necessarily aware of. I like the looming presence. And by the way, every time Eliza calls, I am going to play this. Here comes the General Washington. So you're welcome, Hamilton fans. Go to MaryandBlake.com and listen to the Hamilton podcast or Apple Podcasts and just look up the words Rise Up. You'll see Mary and I's podcast about Hamilton.
Hello.
No, wrong one. Sorry. I did it again.
Hi, friends. This is Janine back from Disney.
Hi, Janine.
I gave this episode 5 kilts, but my husband gave it 4.9 because he thought the diversion at the end was clunky. After last week's plot-driven thriller episode, I thought this episode was so patient, allowed for so much character development and crucial conversations. I renamed this episode Got 'Em because when Marsley says she killed her father to make the point that thinking can't make something come true, boom, got 'em. And when Isaiah asked Jamie and Roger about leaving their lady loves, got 'em again. Going back to Marsley's conversation with Brianna, I thought this was so well done because it addresses mental health and the importance of a support system with your friends. Especially when Marsley talks about the devil that Brianna conjured, it reminded me of Brene Brown's TED Talk and how she says, the story I'm telling myself is ... Marsley does such a good job calming down Brianna. She calms her down gently, asks her question, and is wise in her response. This moment was such a great example of how friends can address their other friends' anxieties and mental health. And I was really proud of the show for doing that. I think possibly an outlandish theory could be that Jamie's going to use some of Roger's advice about avoiding battle with the trading of goods. We'll see. I don't know. See you guys next week.
Thank you, Janine. Welcome back from Disney, by the way. That's great. Yeah. Yes. You're looking at you. But thank you very much.
Hey, Mary and Blake. It's Denise from Medina, Ohio.
Hi, Denise.
I've been listening to you for a couple of years, but this is my first time calling.
Yay!
I'll get right into my GBGs. My good. I love the sword dancing and the Scottish songs that Roger was singing. I miss being in Scotland, and these were nice little tidbits. My bad. Bree's failure to communicate important information again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like when she didn't tell Jamie about Bonnet, so when Roger shows up, he ends up getting sold to the Mohawk by Ian for some backcountry bling. And now not telling Marsley that Bonnet might be after her? Even if she doesn't want to give up details about the rape, she could tell them the story about when he robbed Jamie and Claire. And Lizzie knows all about Bonnet anyway. If they're all in trouble, they should know it.
Preach.
By the way, I think that Bonnet was there in the house. Jemmy certainly didn't jump up and turn that doorknob by himself. There was someone there to open it. My great. Marsley, that yes. woman is a rock. Last season, she's driving the getaway wagon for Fergus. Then she's playing Sweeney Todd with Claire in the surgery.
Yeah, girl.
And in this episode, really being the voice of reason with Bree and keeping things under control on the ridge. I really didn't like her in the books, but Lauren Lyle does an amazing job of bringing her to life. One last thing. Why did the Beardley twins have to wear season 4 wigs?
They were the newest ones cast.
They got the hand-me-downs.
Oh, you're new here? Let me guess. You're the wee hand-me-down robes, red hair.
You're a wizard.
You're a Beardley.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that one. That was excellent stuff.
Hi, guys. This is Whitney from Alaska.
Hi, Whitney.
I just first wanted to say I love the podcast. I'm a new listener. It's my first time calling in. And thank you so much to both you, Blake and Mary, for all you do to make us smile every week. I just appreciate you guys so much.
We appreciate you.
So I'm going to jump right in. My rating, my kilt rating this week was a 4.9. And then I'm going to go right into my good, bad, great. So my good was Fergus. I'm totally on the Fergus train right now. I'm obsessed, probably because I'm in the middle of book number two. And then his green coat with that big hood, I was like, frontier chic, need to add that to my collection.
Yes.
My bad was, it was the Alicia character. I don't know if it was the actress or what, but it was the whole story of, I'm going to kill myself over this guy, just kind of drove me nuts, but that it was a different time.
Yep.
And that's basically all they had. But my great was, it actually is a dynamic between Roger and Jamie. And I hope I can eloquently say this with so many, you know, seconds left, but basically, Jamie is all about loyalty. Morton was the first person to raise his hand on the ridge, and I can see why he's upset. But then on the flip side, I can totally understand why Roger is seeking this approval. He doesn't have any parents left. He really wants Jamie to just love him. I totally get it. I feel it. I love this episode. I love you guys. Bye.
Looks like she was going to get cut off. So she's like, I love you guys.
I know what it is.
So that was good. Frontier Chic. That might be a new Mary and Blake store show.
I like that.
I kind of like this idea.
Frontier Chic.
Here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Sharon calling from Chicago.
Hi, Sharon.
I give this episode a big fat five kilt again. Season five is bringing it.
Wow. Okay.
First, Blake, I just want to say, I nearly spit out my tea when you were talking about Fergus clapping and how you thought that noise of the drum was his wooden hand. Oh
yes.
My gosh, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Can't
see. My good was Marcelie. She's one of those people who shows up and you know everything is going to be okay.
Amen.
I would just love to have a Marcelie in my life. I also liked Roger singing. I just love it when he's able to show what he can really do. I also love the Bonnie conversation between Jamie and Claire. I sort of know that feeling. I don't have any children myself, but I'm a stepmom, so I kind of can understand where those two are coming from. But my best was the storytelling skills of this episode. The pacing was amazing. There was a lot of heavy lifting they had to do, and they did it fabulous. The scenes had the beginning, middle, and end. And also the characters were completely different from when they started. And that is the mark of great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
The dancing made me cringe a little. And Blake, I love the cinematography too. Season four was a little cheap. And then I love the horses running. Oh my goodness. I just love it. Okay, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate that. Let's get the next one.
Hey, Mary and Blake, this is Melanie calling for the first time from sunny South Florida.
Yay!
Regarding the newest episode, The Company We Keep, my kilt rating is a 4.8. Overall, I thought it was great. I just thought it was lacking with the rumpy pumpy between Jamie and Claire that we're all craving.
Mm.
I was hoping when Jamie was leading her off into the woods, that's what we were going to see. Mm-hmm. But no,
I pretend
such
that
luck.
It still does.
Headcanon.
My good for this episode was the bonding taking place between Marcelie and Bree. Clearly, Marcelie saw that Bree was struggling with something, and that was her attempt to reach out. I thought that was really something special. My bad was the fact that Fergus seemed to be wearing a little Red Riding Hood cloak. It just really distracted my attention.
Frontier
during those
chic.
Scenes. Not sure what they were thinking with the costume there. And I'm also surprised that Jamie didn't make Fergus a captain, because given their long-term history and trust, I think he would be a good asset to help in some of those situations. And my great was Isaiah Morton and him mentioning to Jamie and Roger what they wouldn't do for the women that they love. So thanks for all the great work, and can't wait to hear your next episode.
Yay!
Thank you, Melanie. I appreciate that. We call that nepotism. making Roger a captain and Fergus not a captain. So that's okay. It happens. I don't blame Jamie. He's trying to give something to Roger because he's an LD, and it is what it is.
Stop with the LD. I'm serious.
Okay, fine. I'll stop.
I don't want it ever again.
All right, fine. I'll stop. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Mary, Blake, and Sam. This is Allison from Huntington Beach, California.
Hello.
What's up, Wednesday? Well, it's a beautiful sunny day here in Southern California, so I'm actually headed out to go on a run to the beach. I'm pretty sure the beach is safe from COVID-19.
Oh, okay.
So I'm late to the game and just recently began watching Outlander. I'm loving all of the seasons.
Welcome.
And season 5.
Okay.
So for season 1, I'm curious to know, what is Sam's favorite episode and which one was the most fun for him to film? Also, I know Sam loves his whiskey and I'm definitely looking forward to receiving my bottle of the Sassenach. But what is Sam's favorite traditional Scottish meal? Thank you. Stay safe. Love you guys.
You know what? We are currently on Facebook Live because neither Blake nor I know the answer to this question. Even if we thought we could figure it out, we've been having some white claws because it's listener feedback. So I'm going to let our listeners on Facebook Live help us out.
Yeah, that's we're going to whistle past the graveyard.
We'll get back to you. We are not the actual cast. We're just two jabronis from Rhode Island who like to watch the show. But the collective.
Hold on. Let me get Sam on the phone real quick. Hold on.
You know what? Sam probably would write back.
If we gave him a nice phone call, maybe he would.
Maybe. Right now?
Sure, why not? Yeah,
what's he doing? Sam, everyone's on lockdown, the entire world.
He got nothing better to do.
But be on Twitter.
But be on
Instagram.
My suggestion, why don't you tweet at him? What's your favorite meal, bro? You know, what do you like?
I mean, let's be real. It's probably like chicken and broccoli.
Oh, Garen, because he doesn't do
protein
potatoes.
Protein bar.
Yeah.
Grass. Built bar. Grass. That's a little kickback to season 1.
Yeah. Because he ate grass. There you go. He likes grass. Not the good kind of grass, the bad kind of grass.
Oh, here we go. Diane says it was the scene at the creek. So where he's playing, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
At the creek? At the creek.
Creek.
No, right here. Diane says.
Yeah, it says creek. Yeah.
It says haggis is his favorite. Haggis is not my favorite meal.
I had haggis. I actually quite enjoyed it.
It was good, but it's not my favorite.
I also had blood pudding, thanks to Ann Gavin.
Creek. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, creek. I'm like, wait a second. No, I'm thinking, no. Okay. So the scene between him and Claire by the river.
Uh-huh. Yep.
There we go.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Got it. All right.
See, people are saying to stop calling him LD. I'm not alone in this.
Listen, I've gotten conflicting reports.
It's not allowed anymore.
It's not allowed. It's now a Mary and Blake commandment?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. It's a Mary and Blake commandment. I can no longer call Roger an LD. Okay. Fine. See? Fair.
Thank you.
I'll take it. Thank you. Just as long as we don't talk about season 2 anymore. The season that shall not be named.
Hello from the Highlands of Scotland. It's Kirsten Lane here.
Hey, Kirsten.
My take on the episode. The good. The King of Maine, Jamie. Not only does he command respect as the head hegin, but he has the ability to sort out any Rami and still have time to melt our hearts when he's with Claire.
Don't know.
Ramen?
Poor Roger has no chance of running that militia, as he couldn't run a flag up a pole. The bad. Now, the custom of giving a wee bairn a silver coin still exists to this day in Scotland. It's said to bring good fortune, especially if the bairn grasps it. But what halfwit leaves a coin in the pram for hours?
Seriously?
It's nae exactly very lucky if the bairn chokes on the coin.
Mrs. Bug's the worst.
But then, Jamie is a smart bairn. Having only just learnt to walk, he managed to hide from Brianna by also opening and closing that cupboard door all by himself. The great Marcelly. She's wise beyond her years. She doesn't get enough ankle or a flap. And her hard childhood made her a tough wee weapon. She can be a nippy sweetie at times, but she's an absolute belter of a best friend to have.
Yes.
That's all from me. Cheerio.
Ah, thank you so much. Excellent stuff. That's why, again, she's a Hall of Fame caller.
Yes, she is.
She's a Hall of Fame caller.
Wouldn't it be fun if there was a show that took place in Rhode Island and people would be like, oh my God, I wonder if there's any authentic Rhode Island accents, maybe with a husband who has a Boston accent.
Yeah, no one would watch that. Nobody would care about that.
And let us hear the beautiful accent that is the meld of Boston and New York, otherwise known as Rhode Island accents.
The Rhode Island accent is so weird.
What do you mean?
It's weird.
You're weird.
No, I'm not weird. The Rhode Island accent's weird because it's like it's Boston, but it wants to be New York.
It's a mash of Boston and New York. We can't help that we're like not really in between. That's more Connecticut, but we're kind of in between.
Don't get me started on Connecticut. Don't get me started on Connecticut. Shouldn't even be a state.
No, it should. It just needs a bridge over it so we can get the hell over it to get to New York. That's where you get stuck. Everyone knows you get stuck in Connecticut.
There should just be a bridge over Connecticut, just to get over it.
Yes.
No exits, no
none.
Nothing.
None.
Just go forward.
Just go straight.
Just keep, go 65 at the least, more like 70, okay?
Just cruise control.
I would even be okay with 80.
Because you know what? I love Connecticut. It's my favorite place to go get.
Love Mystic.
Oh my God. The Lobster Bomb.
Oh, the Lobster
Bomb. At the
bomb.
Noank Crab Shack or Lobster Shack in Noank, Connecticut.
This episode brought to you by the Crab Shack in Noank, Connecticut. Oh my God. If you guys are ever in Connecticut, you ever in Rhode Island.
If you're near Mystic, there's this little town next to Mystic called Noank. You need to go to Ford's Lobster Shack.
Yep. Ford's Lobster Shack. Lobster Bomb. What is it? It's lobster bisque in a bread bowl.
It's a bread bowl with lobster bisque with chunks of lobster claw.
Oh.
It's the most gluttonous, and I'm pretty sure they butter and like toast the bread bowl. It is the most gluttonous lobster deliciousness of your life, and it's what I get on my birthday.
I mean, you'll...
I probably can't get it on my birthday this year, but it's okay. We'll get our own. I mean, I live in Rhode Island.
Yeah, we can figure it out. I'm sure we can figure it out. The problem that you have after having the lobster bomb is the next day.
I don't.
You don't have a problem with it?
No.
Because, you know, there's a lot of bisque, there's a lot of lobster, there's bread.
Lactaid milk, man. Lactaid pill. I'm all about that life. Okay, are there any more listeners?
That's it. That's the end. That's the end of the voicemails.
So, here's how this is going to work. Today is technically Sunday. Episode 505 came out an hour and a half ago.
Yes.
Blake has not watched it. I watched it this morning.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Insomnia.
So, are we going to watch the preview for it? You want to watch the preview for it?
Oh my God, I would love to watch the preview for it because I've already watched it. And I want to just sit here and see what you think's going to happen.
All right, hold on.
Angela, next time you come up, you need to stop. I'm serious. We need to stop in Mystic and get the lobster bomb.
All right, hold on. 505 promo for perpetual adoration. Here we go. Hold on. There might be an advertisement, so we might have to... Hold on. Let's see what we got here.
What is this?
Ooh. Can you pull it up on the big TV, Blake?
Oh.
Blake, can you pull up a big TV?
I can't. Hold on,
guys. So we're watching the preview for episode 505, which everyone listening to this or watching this has probably already watched, except Blake.
All right, hold on.
So we get to revel in Blake's outlandish theories that he gets from this
Okay,
trailer.
Here we go. All right, you ready for this? All right, here we go.
What is this?
Yeah.
It's bonus, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I told you. I told you he would find out about Stephen Bonnet.
Do you just want to watch the whole thing and then come back and piece by piece?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
The doctor involves risk, sometimes even fatal.
The Redcoats are benefiting from our hospitality as we speak.
Where are they?
Right. Just as we practiced. Scalpel. Steady. This can be the tricky part.
Oh, Claire.
Oh.
I'm living the Lizzie life right now.
I know that face that she makes. Okay, all right. So clearly they're going to have surgery on the Josiah and Keziah boys. Going to happen. On the twins. Going to happen.
The Weasleys.
The way that
and the Down Weasleys. Red hair.
But you're a Beardsley, aren't you? Something tells me that we're going to get the way that Jamie says.
Do you want to go bit by bit?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Here we go.
What is this? It's bonus, isn't it?
Mm.
There it is.
It's
excellent.
Bonus, isn't it?
I told you this confirms the fact that the regulators are going to take a step back for a couple of weeks and we're going to get this Stephen Bonnet conflict with Roger. Something's going to happen with Roger and Bonnet, guaranteed, and Jamie's going to help him. Guaranteed. Absolutely. Guaranteed.
Everything you do as a doctor involves risk, sometimes even fatal.
The Redcoats are benefiting from our hospitality as we speak.
Where are they?
Okay, so that right there.
I love how Jamie's like leaning in. He does not fear germs. He's leaning into that guy and he's like, where are they?
Yep. Yep.
Coming
yep.
close.
So the whole thing with him is like saying, okay, where are they? That to me speaks that there's going to be...
What?
There's going to be some conflict here between Blake, Jamie...
Hi, Captain Obvious.
No, between Jamie and the Redcoats.
Captain Obvious?
No, that's not Captain Obvious because he's supposed to be making good with them because of Governor Tryon. He's supposed to be making good with them. But there's going to be something that happens with Jamie and the Redcoats because no. He cannot abide by like what Knox did to his people, like what Knox did to the prisoners, killing them without a trial. Something is probably going to happen, something similar to that. And I'm not saying that it's going to be Knox, but there's going to be something with Jamie and one of these Redcoats because he cannot abide by stuff happening again like that. And I just wonder if that's what's coming. Like, no. Something is afoul with these people.
Right. Just as we practiced. Scalpel. Steady. Scalpel. This can be the tricky part.
So I love Lizzie's face at the end there. She's like, oh, God. And absolutely, the Beardsley boys are going to have their surgery. Something is going to happen with them. And I bet. Oh, here's another good one, too. Claire screws up.
Kill the spare.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Kill the spare. He screws up. She screws up on something. Like maybe Marcelli screws up on something. Maybe she gives her the wrong like knife. Maybe she gives her the wrong medicine.
She gives her like a rent scalpel.
It's kind of like that movie Knives Out. Remember we just watched Knives Out?
Yeah, I fell asleep.
She did fall asleep. That was unfortunate. But you know, there was some stuff happening in that movie Knives Out, and I feel like that's what's going to happen. Marcelli screws something up.
Are you done? Or yeah. Do you have any other like really cool theories that you can throw from this trailer? Because all of us have already seen it and we're really enjoying. Oh yeah. You need that, of course, string ending of suspense.
Absolutely. So we'll leave. Oh, look at this. How apropos. Look at this. On the screen here. Outlander, Stars, the whole thing.
That happens every week.
Blake. I know, but you know, but just to end the show on Outlander, you know, here we go. Everybody saying, Mary, you fell asleep at Knives Out.
Well, here's the scoop, guys. Since everything's been happening that I'm not going to mention that begins with the letter C in the world, I've been having insomnia because, for those of you who don't know, I suffer from anxiety pretty badly. So I've been staying up late watching stupid stuff. Luckily, no documentaries. I've been listening to a lot of meditations. I've been journaling. I've been doing laundry. And it all caught up with me. And so I took a melatonin like right before Blake said, let's watch Knives Out. So yes. I watched it and they solved the murder in the first 10 or
20 minutes. Can't be hashtag spoilers. Can't be dropping those kind of spoilers.
Whatever. I just did. They solve it within the first 10 or 20 minutes. But, and I was like, screw this. I'm not staying awake. And then...
But
it's very exciting.
Mary is right.
But the thing is I saw the trailer for Knives Out, and it looked like it was going to be very artistically done visually.
Yes.
Like the trailer for it,
but it was
wicked trippy. No, it was wicked trippy, and no trippy fun stuff happened.
Marvin,
and I was like,
the shots,
Clue.
The shots in the trailer come from the film.
Yeah, but they were doing these really interesting fades into each other, these like twist fades, and I was like, ooh, I'm down with this. Like, what's going on, man? And then I was like, this is like Clue. And they told me who did it. I'm bored.
So Mary is right. They do tell you who
and Daniel
did it
Craig in it
is trying to be Frank Underwood.
And I can't.
Yes, I would agree.
I can't, Daniel Craig. Don't be Frank Underwood.
Frank Underwood from House of Cards for all of you who was played by Kevin Spacey. The same accent essentially. They do tell you yes.
I'm blaming the melatonin. Let's be real. I'm probably the next night I can't sleep. I will watch that instead of Love is Blind.
Okay, they do tell
you. Don't watch Love is Blind, guys.
Do not watch that. They do tell you what happened within the first 20 minutes. They do.
It is.
But it's not what you think.
Blake told me the entire plot line afterwards because he was like, you fell asleep and it was actually really good. And then he told me and I was like, man.
That was really good.
That was really good. I'll have to watch it again.
So it's not
melatonin.
What you think. Mary did not spoil it for you. It's not what
yes,
you think.
Yes, so
I promise you.
It was sleep medicine.
Watch it. And as a matter of fact, filmed in Massachusetts. So Just throwing that out there. Throwing that out there.
Didn't my friend Chris work on it?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And directed by the same guy, Rian Johnson, who directed Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Emo Star Wars.
Emo Star Wars. Better. Are you in or out on Clue being better than Knives Out?
Are we going to talk about Outlander? Because we need to go watch it.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. All right. We're going to talk about Outlander. We're going to get out of here.
I watched Knives Out, so I can't tell you if it's better or worse, but I stayed awake for Clue.
You did. You did stay
awake. I didn't take melatonin for Clue, though.
All right. So you ready to close this bad boy out? You got any final thoughts?
Buddy.
Anything you want to say to the masses?
Buddy. I'm done.
You done?
I'm ready to go watch 505.
I just want to say, I want to get it out there. Okay? All right. No? All right. Here we go. We're done. listen, everybody, my final thought for you, the thing that I want to part ways with you is everything's going to be.
Are you getting deep?
Everything's going to be okay. We're going
to
be all right.
Can you just put on like some background music? You know, put on go to Wicked Roadie. Go over to there.
No. I got
and
something
just
better.
Put on some background music.
I already got something better.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, where is it?
It's coming. Hold on.
Oh. I wasn't ready for this.
No, you weren't. I know.
Close your eyes.
Just let it, man.
Picture you're in a hammock.
Yeah, man. Having a Miami Vice.
Oh, Miami Vice. Half strawberry daiquiri.
Oh, yeah.
Half pina colada.
Pina colada. With some rum in there.
Perfection.
Oh, yeah. Everything's going to be all right, man. Just don't worry about it.
Let's just keep watching right. Outlander.
Just keep watching Outlander. Keep listening to Outlander cast. Having fun.
We're going to be having some extra Outlander cast fun this week, guys, to get us through this. We got this. All right, for now, my name is Mary.
Well, no, we got to do the whole thing.
God, I didn't even get it all up. You got to punt.
Yeah, no. Well, we're not going to punt. But I'm gonna hold the position for you, okay?
Okay.
So here we are. We're ending Outlander cast.
Lumos knows. Lumos is visiting us. For those of you.
So this episode was brought to you by White Claw. Okay. Mary and I have had a few White Claws, but more importantly, what I want to say to you is, go to maryandblake.com. Check out maryandblake.com, and what?
Nope. Keep going.
Okay. Check out maryandblake.com.
Keep punting.
And I'm not punting. I'm just holding the line. Go to maryandblake.com. Check out all of our podcasts that are there. Whether it's Outlander Cast, Rise Up. Oh, Rise Up this morning. Yeah, there you go. Rise Up, the Hamilton podcast. Keep Calm and Crown On. The North Remembers, the Game of Thrones podcast. The Leftovers podcast.
I'm getting ready for my ASMR. Melody's pure.
Hold on, here we go. Just feel it. Here we go.
This is my message to you.
Spectacular. Try it out, guys. Spectacular.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You finally got it?
I've got it.
All right.
So here's the scoop, guys. Our patrons at OutlanderCastClan.com are saving our booty right now. As you know, with everything that's going on right now, a lot of people are freaking out. This is super duper important that people are members of Outlander Cast Clan. Even for as little as $2 a month, you make this possible. We want to thank our most generous patrons, the associate producers, Angie, Candy, Carolyn, Celine, Dawn, Diane, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Marilyn, Maureen, Patricia, Siobhan, Stephanie, and Valerie. And then we've, of course, got our co-producers, Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Janet, Keelan, Lori Ellen, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney. And last but not least, our executive producers, Ann, Bobby, Dee, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, Peg, and Sarah. What, man? I did it.
You did a good job.
I got you.
I got you.
I was supposed to get my iTunes reviews in, too.
You got some time. You want
to
do
it? Nobody wants to wait this long to bloody hear it.
Fair enough. Well, we're just chilling out to Somali, man.
Okay.
We're chilling out to Mali. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Everything's going to be all right.
I want to go watch 505.
All right, fine. Fair enough.
Okay,
right, let's close this out.
I'll read two iTunes reviews next time.
All right, we got to go. The music's over. Okay.
My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Outlander Cast.